All right, Flyover family, you know what time it is. Time we get a chance to look kind of behind the curtain, look at the news through the lens of a professional news producer, someone with a backbone, a predetermined moral compass is something you don't see on mainstream media.
No.
So it's kind of refreshing. She's blown up on the scene, appearing on some of the biggest shows, literally in independent media. She's former Fox News producer, Newsmax producer, Major League Baseball. She's basically been there, done that, bilingual, speaking both English and sarcasm, fluently, the one, the only, Brianna Morello.
Yay! I'm not doing too well at the English language these days, but definitely sarcasm. So
thank you, do great with that, man. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves to follow you on X and on your show. You're just
everybody loves her.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, the DHS doesn't love you.
Department of Homeland Security, apparently, you're not you're on their naughty list, not the nice list, because you do something they're not used to, which is like speak the truth with clarity and you hold power accountable. It's unbelievable. Talk about your framed trophy there.
Yeah. So, I got this beauty. It's an email sent to DHS. Well, from DHS to TSA, referring to me as a, reporter that, quote, won't be favorable. And so they're trying to retell them how to answer emails regarding illegals who are being flown around our country on flights. And so accidentally somebody over at TSA, I don't know how, got me wrapped up into the email, added my email to the email chain, and then attached that email. So unfortunately, I think that girl is probably fired at this point. But I have framed it because I am an unfavorable reporter, because that's what journalism is. You're not supposed to like what I have to say. It is the facts. And so and it's supposed to challenge authority. And that's exactly what I do.
I just want to point out that implies that there are favorable reporters.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. And it's the corporate ones that are in the bag. Ones. Yep.
And I think people have seen that. And there shouldn't really be a Fox world and a CNN world. And there should be, hey, this is good or this is bad. This is something, or just point out, hey, this is a mug and it has water in it, you know, and then let people decide if a mug of water is good or bad. But like reporting facts of this is happening, they are flying in, you know, illegals into our country. You know, there are still thousands.
Sending them everywhere.
There's thousands of, you know, there's a clip this weekend of a town hall that Eric Adams had in New York. And a lady in the audience asked him, said, it's very interesting that there's thousands of New Yorkers that were forced out of their jobs. They're now unemployed. They can't work in the professions. We're still fighting you in court over vaccine regulations and COVID policy. And your statement in the town hall was, we need to give all of these illegal migrants in New York opportunities to work. And it's like, why is there a double standard for somebody who came to the country illegally versus a taxpaying citizen that grew up here? Like those things should be able to be pointed out and then let the people decide. But I think the thing about your email that you received is the fact there are unfavorable reporters and there are favorable reporters. And it's this spin cycle that allows corruption to take place. And it, like everything about COVID, everything about the Afghan withdrawal, everything going on in our world right now, covering for our education, none of these things could happen if there was not media cover that would spin things in a positive direction that would allow corrupt officials, you know, to make $150,000, $200,000 a year and develop a trading account of $20 million. Like none of those things could happen if there wasn't a favorable and unfavorable list of media counterparts. And you're blowing that up and you're becoming the one that the people trust.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I mean, I'm trying to, because I think the reality is most Americans don't trust the corporate media. When you even look at the numbers from Fox, CNN, MSNBC, I mean, they're not even pulling in 1% of the American people each night. And so I think that really highlights the issue that we have in this country, that the vast majority of Americans do not trust corporate media. And, you know, even with my show and other shows that I go on, they're pulling in larger audiences than MSNBC and CNN these days. And that's the reality. Most Americans are done. They're done following all these corporate media outlets, and they're turning to something that's a little bit more reliable that they're going to get the truth on. And that's what we're doing now. So I'm proud of it. And I mean, it's probably going to create more enemies than anything within these federal agencies, but I'm okay with that. That's totally fine with me.
Encourage all our listeners, do go to her Rumble channel, hit follow, hit subscribe. You go to BriannaMorello.com. It's going to get you to all the places that she is, but if you want truth on a daily basis mm-hmm. about things that are being hidden from you, this is the source.
And when something's right, it's always right, and opinions change, and you are standing strong, and you're like, man, I'm telling the truth, period, no matter what. Truth always rises to the top, and it's exciting to see that. In fact, you were on Louder with Crowder. You were on with Crowder the other day. Talk about that. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was fun. So I broke my exclusive on his show, and it was interesting because it's a big one. TSA tells Americans that when they do their facial recognition image, that those images are immediately deleted after they verify their identification. But the reality is DHS is forwarding those. I mean, sorry, TSA is forwarding that to DHS. And so what that means is DHS has access to that information. Now, is DHS creating a database? What's going on within DHS? Well, of course, they're not going to tell you directly. The point of it, though, is that while TSA says this is a benign program, it's just meant to speed up the lines, just take your image and then we'll delete it right after, they're forwarding it to somebody else. They're forwarding it to another agency. And so ultimately, why are they doing this is the question. Now, they're saying it's just for testing purposes. But I wanted to see if TSA was going to lie to me about it because I was well aware. I got a call from a source that this was going on and I should look into it. And just kind of did some diving, and I had the evidence that backed up that claim. And so when I did reach out to TSA, because now obviously I'm not a favorable reporter over there anymore, I don't get the average comms person these days. I actually get the press secretary when I reach out to them because they want to make sure it goes to the top up to make sure that they don't send me something they're not supposed to. And then the press secretary, before sending me that comment, actually asked me what outlet am I contracted with, because they only respond to credentialed reporters. And I responded to that by saying, you know, that sounds like discrimination. The free speech part of our U.S. Constitution clearly states that the government doesn't get to decide who a journalist is and who it isn't. The government's hands are supposed to be off the media. So you're not supposed to be sitting here and openly telling me you have favoritism. And that's when I got that response back. So it's a great day to keep pushing back against these people, because I don't know if they're intentionally being evil, but they definitely don't have good in their heart. And that's the reality of this. They're knowingly working for a federal agency that's lying to the American people, and they're refusing to come forward and be transparent. And that's why we need to continue to shine light on all of this.
Man. All right. Let's talk about somebody that does have a good heart, and that is NFL player Harrison Butker. So I loved what you put out, because obviously we're here in Kansas City, and he's actually in our hometown. You said it has triggered the left by telling young men to be young, respectable men. If Butker was out there impregnating random women, partying every night and cross-dressing, the NFL would fully support him. Most Americans are fed up and agree with him.
It is fascinating.
I actually want to play the speech so people can hear it, because it is excellent.
In the past few years that I have grown in courage to speak more boldly and directly, because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man. To the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing. Society is shifting. And people, young and old, are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives. But what I think gets misunderstood is that people who attend the TLM do so out of pride or preference. I can speak to my own experience, but for most people I have come across within these communities, this simply is not true. I do not attend the TLM because I think I am better than others, or for the smells and bells, or even for the love of Latin. I attend the TLM because I believe, just as the God of the Old Testament was pretty particular in how he wanted to be worshipped, the same holds true for us today. It is through the TLM that I encountered order and began to pursue it in my own life.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Are you proud to be from Kansas City?
Well, we get a lot of cuts from him at press conferences and different things. He's very traditional in his marriage and in the way that he conducts himself. What's interesting, though, is when he's speaking to a Catholic audience at a private college, you know, and he's speaking on values that are held dear to those in the audience and that have been taught to those students while they're in school, and then they're taken out of that context and put in the general, you know, population, and they're held to a standard that's contradiction, that tries to draw a contradiction. It's interesting that he's bashed for being what he portrays himself as being.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved every second of that. I know it goes on for a little bit longer, but I think we need to realize something. There was not a single thing that he said there that was offensive. And if you were offended by it, it's probably because you're a demon. I mean, there's no other solution for it. I just can't understand why anyone would be upset with what he said. He's talking about single parent households. He's talking about rebuilding families. He's talking about his faith. And there's really nothing offensive about it. He doesn't, you know, the NFL wants to focus on being inclusive. There wasn't anything that went after gay families, gay people. There wasn't anything like that. So the fact that they're sitting here and pretending like it's something that it's not, I think is telling in itself. I love the fact that we have a young football player who's good looking out there talking about his wife, his family, and he is just being like an incredible human being and trying to tell their men to take up the life that he has chosen. And I don't see an issue with any of that. But then we have the corporate media who tells women all the time that you should be independent. You should not need a man. You should wait to have kids or not to have kids at all. And they just keep bashing you with all of this. My response that you read earlier, Stacey, to that tweet garnished a lot of hate from all of these mentally ill feminists who there was a couple of them who said, does my husband allow me to have a cell phone? I mean, I don't have a husband, but like the fact that you associate someone who's supporting somebody else who believes in these things as somebody who's somehow oppressed is just ridiculous. And that woman apparently is a psychiatrist.
But oh my gosh.
That's what her bio said. I know. But we're really in a bad situation as a country because our numbers for just single parent households are really depressing. Everything, we have no tradition in this country anymore. And everyone shames people for wanting to do just that. If you don't want kids, that's fine. I don't hold it against you. But if you do want kids, or if you do want to kind of feel it out and figure out if you do want that traditional life, we shouldn't be suppressing women and bashing them for wanting that and bashing men for encouraging it.
What's
interesting
point.
Is juxtaposed against another Kansas City Chiefs player, that first round draft pick, Ray Rice from last year, who was in a multi-car pileup in Dallas, Texas with a Lamborghini and another car. And then a few nights later in a nightclub where he allegedly punched somebody in the face. And so that's all unfolding. And while people say those are poor choices, having a player talk about the positive impact of being a good man and, a guy that's, home early with his wife, eating dinner, this kind of thing versus the nightclub life. Like if there was more Harrison Butkers, there would be a lot less Ray Rice's. Because that generational cycle of chaos, would be broken.
Such a great point.
Yeah, and we'd have more happier women in the world. I mean, if you look at the statistics regarding women who are on antidepressants and even men, I mean, I talk to men sometimes and they're embarrassed to say it, but some of them are on antidepressants. And it's because society kind of pushes you to think that partying and not supporting a family and having a family of your own is kind of the way to go about it. And it's just not. I mean, everyone in this country is really just on edge these days. And I think it's because we've abandoned our tradition.
I totally agree. In fact, Colton, we're going to go to the last tweet on here because we got to pull up what you had about. It was from Clown World, but it was women are signing up for rage rituals to let out suppressed emotions and reconnect with themselves. There's a little video we'll do as a B-roll, but you said, my unsolicited dating advice, avoid these women.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
What's this about?
Oh my gosh, these women are crazy. They're trying to take out all their rage. They don't know what they have rage about. Like, let's be honest. A lot of these women, they've been told that they're oppressed, that they've been missing out on so much, that they're being discriminated against. And so here they are. It's always white women too. Why?
Oh my
gosh. It's so crazy. I mean, like, at some point you have to like go like, all right, maybe we're doing it. Like, look at this one with the stick. I mean, literally just bashing a stick onto the ground as if she has some reason to have rage. Maybe you have rage because you become an alcoholic instead of sitting here and trying to put your family first. Like, it just, and look at even the one with the pink hat. I mean, come on, this is not normal behavior.
No, it's exactly what you said. Because we've gone away from our traditions.
It reinforces my saying that the Democratic Party and the left and all the woke culture is made up of angry women and weak men. Yeah. And one kind of creates the other. They make the men weaker and the women get more angry. And, you know, I've had this conversation with several young women that are like in Facebook groups and different things. And they'll comment that women will come in there and say, every time I find a good guy that's like driven, he has goals, he knows what he's doing with his life, he ends up being some Trump or some conservative and they want to break up with him. And I'm like, you might want to like reflect a little bit on what you're looking
exactly.
for here, because you might want a strong man that helps make your life a little easier and is there as a helpmate.
Yeah, I don't know which came first. Was it the angry women that created the weak men? Was it the weak men that created the angry women? I'm not sure which one came first, but man, that is definitely
they snowball a cycle. Off each other for sure. Oh,
yeah. It's so bad. It's so bad. I don't understand why this is even. Look at this. What are they fanning her for? Why are they crying and holding each other? What are you crying about?
it's relief that they've escaped the patriarchy that women are so miserable under.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my gosh. I want in on the patriarchy.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
We had it so good. First off, by the way, women, we had it so good. Before we go, we had it so good, I have to say, because ultimately, women were able to sit at home and not do anything besides take care of their home. Now we all have to go out and work and we still have to take care of the home. What do we do to ourselves? It's just stupid.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Didn't you have a tweet or something about like, I'll make you a sandwich or something like that? Yeah, I think you had one a while back.
Happily be the sandwich maker. Absolutely.
There you go. I remember that. That's awesome.
It's crazy. We married 31 years. I mean, I let you have a cell phone.
It's like, absolutely.
Like the ideas of let and all that, it's like,
so crazy.
Our life is better. Marriage isn't something that we do in addition to building businesses and raising kids and the other stuff we've done in our life and missionary work. It's because of our marriage. It's the pot the tree grows out of that makes all those other things possible. I'm stronger, more confident. She believes in me, respects in me, and it gives me the ability to do everything I do better and vice versa. It's not something we compromise these other things so we could have this marriage. This marriage is the pot the tree grows from that makes so many other things possible. A lot of our goals and dreams could have never have come to it. We had a music career. We started a record label in Nashville. We've done like so many things we couldn't have done just on our own, fighting it and sticking it to the man. Like it was together. And we have laid down some things individually for each other, but we've gained 1,000 times X more because of the patriarchy, you know, because of traditional values and how our house is run. You know?
And that's what's refreshing about Harrison Butker. I mean, that is like, very refreshing to see that and to hear that.
I know. I was upset when I heard he was married.
You're like, oh man.
I'm like, it's the good one. They always go first.
There's more out there. There's more for you, Brian. I guarantee it. And they would be blessed to have you. You little sandwich maker.
He's a good looking dude. And man, he's won a lot of games for the Chiefs too. I mean, he's money. He set some records, you know, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. All right. So you had, so obviously you have the Brianna Marillo show on Rumble and you had our mutual friend, Steve, friend on there, talking about
FBI. That's a good man.
That is a great man.
I mean, if you're a young man out there and you're like, hey, who's a good man I could follow? Steve Friend. Mm-hmm. He's the best among us.
So what in your show, you were actually covering what the FBI was doing to the whistleblowers. Can you kind of cover a little bit about that? And then obviously we're going to point people to your show, the Brianna Marillo show on Rumble. You can check it out there. But what was going on?
Yeah. So there was a watchdog report that came out just this week, and it was in regards to the FBI retaliating against those who come forward to report the FBI for abuses. And Steve is obviously one of them. He came forward as a whistleblower because he didn't want to, he was taken off of child pornography cases and going after predators and was put onto J6. And he didn't want to be bashing in people's doors just because they had the opposing views of the government. And so because of that, he came forward to Congress. They put him on unpaid leave, and then they suspended him, his clearance specifically. And they wanted to leave him like that for years. And unfortunately, because he has a family to raise, he had to move on and resign and then go out and get a job. But that's what they do. They try to starve you out. And that's one of the many methods that the FBI and other agencies use. Garrett O'Boyle is another one who's going through it right now as well. But we've already known this. The watchdog group findings weren't anything that were crazy. And we've once again asked the federal government, we asked House Republicans to push forward legislation that protects whistleblowers. And, you know, I sat down with Jim Jordan and tried pushing that onto him as well to get some idea as to if he would support paying them through their whole process. That's the big part of it all. And he said he'd have to look into it because there's legislation that's currently up, then that might already be included in it. But from what I've heard, it's not. And so it's just our politicians aren't doing anything to protect these people, and they're just being taken advantage of and bullied by the government. And that's just really how it is. And the FBI will pretend that they care about FBI whistleblowers, but they don't. They don't like them at all. And they want to go after them and crush them.
Man, that's sad. Yeah. So sad. He is a great man. I do believe that justice is coming. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Peru.
Yeah, good things coming out of Peru. They classified trans people as mentally ill. And you said, well, Peru is the future.
That's what we should all be doing. I don't understand why we don't. I mean, Peru is way ahead of their times, apparently. What kind of country are we living in nowadays where we sit here and pretend like a cross-dressing man is normal and it's a new gender? It's not. And we need to push back against all of this. It's so disgusting seeing people just kind of follow along and say, oh, well, that's how they feel. And I'm not going to comply with your weird sexual fetishes. That's what this all is at the end of the day. It's nothing of substance. You know, me and my friends, I joke around all the time, but my old complex we used to live in, there was a trans woman who was living there, and she'd always dress raunchy. She would always dress in a little sports bra and little shorts and walk around the complex like that. Now, you'll never see a biological woman doing that because, well, most of us are sane and we don't want the attention, but you'll see a man playing dress up as a woman because it's his sexual fetish. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what that situation was. And so I joke with my male friends who I caught them staring because you couldn't tell from a distance that it was a man. And I would pick on them. I'd be like, oh, yeah, she's hot, isn't she? And he'd be like, yeah, she's hot. I'm like, you should go over there and talk to her. And they'd get a little bit closer, or she'd get closer to us, and you'd see the Adam's apple. I mean, it's a delusion. I'm so over us pretending like this is normal. It's not normal. I mean, you need to cut it out.
What we do in America then is Planet Fitness. They'll then defend that this 1% minority against real women, that biological women that just want to go work out and take a shower and be left alone.
Yep.
And they'll defend this person that wants to come in there and is clearly shaving over the sink, doing these things. And like we defend the mentally ill against those that are trying to have a life and be left alone. I mean, that especially when it overflows into other people's life and they don't feel safe and they're not safe. They're not safe in prisons. They're not safe at Planet Fitness. They're not safe in any of these environments. So.
Yeah. They always fail to talk about the sexual assaults too. Like you mentioned prisons, there's tons of women who are sexually assaulted in prison by these predators that they put in those prisons, and it goes on. And there's so many of these cases now where they're arresting people for, or these pretend women for sexual assaulting actual women. And we're supposed to just go along with it and pretend like there's not a pattern here. And there's no way for us to even get a statistic on it because the government doesn't want us having that data at our fingertips.
It's true. Or even in schools, you know, obviously it's an issue today.
Let's talk about some wins, though. Something really great happened. Let's talk about
Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn.
Harry Dunn. He's done.
He's done.
Yeah. He's done.
Na, 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 na. Hey, goodbye.
Oh my gosh. It's great. So Harry Dunn lost his primaries, congressional primary in Maryland, and he's somebody who was endorsed by Nancy Pelosi. So this is a major win. He's somebody who lied throughout the J6 congressional hearings that they were
lied
having.
Lied and cried.
He lied and cried. He's somebody who literally testified at the Oath Keepers criminal trial, lied and sent those men to prison for years. I mean, there's still four of them who are in prison right now because of his lies. And his cop out might have been given a plan where, like, if you go with us with these lies, we're going to give you a potential congressional seat. And that's the reason why Nancy Pelosi and all these other corrupt Democrat politicians backed him. The guy's an idiot. You hear him speak in his campaign videos. He's a moron. He could barely string together a sentence. He had his single job as a Capitol Police officer for over 16 years with no real promotions. And that never happens. Normally, you're always promoted if you're somebody who's a able body and is functioning. But Steve Baker's uncovered all of his lies. He's mapped it out. He's followed him through camera footage to prove that everything they said in his book was garbage. And so it's interesting now to see him lose that congressional race and now to figure out something else.
Man, that is huge. It's
that's
a
good.
Big
There's
win.
Justice.
There is justice. Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's go on to the NYPD receiving plea deals. What is going on there? We've got a video we can play for B-roll there. But what the heck is going on?
Yeah. So you guys might remember that migrant story, the legal aliens who were in New York City who beat up two NYPD mm-hmm. officers. It was all caught on footage. You'll see that on your screen in just a second. That video was so egregious. Everyone in the country was outraged because these people shouldn't be in our country at all. And yet for some reason now they've been given a plea deal by the New York City, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. And we don't know the details of that plea deal, but they won't be going to trial if they take that plea deal. And that's the big point we want to drive home here. So they have Trump right now who's on trial in New York City. And they have dodged taking these men to trial because, well, I don't know why. We have everything on video. It's very easy to prove. It's very clear. You could tell who's who. And for some reason, the DA over there didn't want to fight them on this. And so now these men will likely get little light sentences or no jail time at all. They'll be freed. And even one of them, he was actually one of those migrants, the illegal aliens, was actually freed by a liberal priest, put up money for his bail. And as a result of that, that illegal went on to committing another crime instead of a Macy's. He allegedly stole from Macy's immediately after. So we have people coming to our country who want to break our laws. And we have other people in our country who want to not believe that they're bad people. And so it's really just a mess in New York City right now. And we don't have mm-hmm. a district attorney who's willing to fight them and put them in prison.
If you're willing to multiple times kick a police officer in the yeah. head and attack them in the street, you've broken so many like mental barriers mm-hmm. that
yeah.
you're not going to then all of a sudden be like, man, what was I thinking? Then right. just straight and narrow. It's clearly they need to be out of this country. They didn't grow up in this culture and they're taught the same kind of moral code of what we have. These are people that are probably in trouble in the country they're escaping, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. if they're willing to do this. I'm not saying everybody that's coming here is necessarily going to be a problem, but I'm saying there's a large percentage of unvetted people that if you break a law to get in the place, you're probably willing to break laws once you're in the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, people need to accept that.
Before you go to this one, can you talk about what's going on with President Trump? And you had a tweet about that as well.
Yeah, regarding his Manhattan trial. Is that what you're referring mm-hmm. to, Stacey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an absolute mess. I mean, Stormy Daniels was on the stand, was talking about their sexual night together, which is details, again, that aren't relevant to the case at all. And the judge let that in. Then you had Michael Cohen, who's a convicted liar, also on the stand, telling more lies, allegedly. His former attorney slash advisor has come out. He testified yesterday in front of, I think his last name is Acosta or Costo. Mm-hmm. He came out and spoke about that yesterday in front of Congress. And then he was actually just on Fox, too. Also saying that he handed over all this information to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office before they indicted President Trump. And he's concerned that the Manhattan DA intentionally suppressed this evidence from coming forward. It was literally Michael Cohen saying that President Trump did not commit any crimes and that he didn't have a say in anything that Michael Cohen was doing. So like when Michael Cohen allegedly made that payment to Stormy Daniels, that hush money payment that they're all talking about, that President Trump really didn't know anything about it because Michael Cohen actually took out part of a mortgage to take out that money and to give it to her. And so this individual knew it all and he handed over information, he says, to the DA's office, but the DA's office looks like intentionally suppressed that information from coming forward. And then when that individual tried testifying or was testifying in front of the grand jury, the Manhattan DA's office tried to silence him when he was getting closer and closer to those facts. And they really didn't even want it entered into evidence. So we don't even know if it was entered into evidence or if the jury even got to see any of that information. We just know that there is a massive effort to go after President Trump and they are lying. They are intentionally going for him. And the judge is in on it too. We know there's a whole bunch of sketchy things behind his past with his daughter as well, who's also a prominent consultant for a Democrat, for Democrats all across the country. She's mm-hmm. racking in millions of dollars in donations for them. And then you've got Alvin Bragg, who is just politically motivated to go after President Trump.
The whole thing to me seems a little bit like Alvin Bragg. It's almost like an in-kind contribution to the DNC. Because mm-hmm. if we could kind of tie up financially, mentally, emotionally, and all the resources of the political candidate, you know, mm-hmm. during election cycle, to me it seems very one-sided in using the justice system as a bludgeon to be able to take out a political opponent. I think most people are seeing it that way. And even the invitation to the debates, you know, Joe Biden's dig of, hey, you know, Donald, you know, make my day. I hear you're available on Wednesdays.
Oh my gosh.
It's sort of, I don't think he realizes that he looks like the joke and he looks like a bully. And he looks like this corrupt leader that's using, I think even people in the moderates and even on the left are like, And so when he comes out, even brags about the fact of you're only available on Wednesdays, and maybe that's the day you could debate me because I've got you tied up the rest of the time. He looks more like the Caesar in Gladiator that stabs Russell Crowe before they come out and fight in the arena. He looks more like that guy than somebody you would ever want to align yourself with.
Yeah, yeah, he's a piece of garbage. I mean, the video you're citing too, that video that he posted, there was multiple edits and it actually made me a little nauseous seeing all the jump cuts because that's how bad he is, right? He's not mentally capable of being able to string together sentences for 1 minute straight. So there's so many jump cuts in it where they're just trying to pretend like it's an edit job, but it's not an edit job because they would have released the full video. He literally is teasing the president for going after him and putting all of his prosecutors against them. And we know this because we see the logs to the White House. We see that Tish James, we see that Nathan Wade, we see that Fannie Willis, all of them, Jack Smith, all of them have met with people within the White House because we have all of the evidence to prove just that. So this is well orchestrated by Joe Biden himself. And I mean, maybe not himself, maybe it's the other people who are behind him pulling the strings, but he's not capable of being president. The debate, again, no audience, and it's going to be moderated by CNN and then ABC News, and they're all going to be biased moderators. So I don't – everyone keeps saying it's fine, Trump will be able to do it, but it's not the point. The point is it should be fair and balanced, and it's not.
Right. That's exactly right. But,
again, I just think it makes the case, you know
– more people are seeing
more,
it.
More obvious. Yeah. So,
Brianna, you are amazing. Yes. We are so thankful for all of the work that you're doing. Again, Flyover family, go to Brianna Morillo, B-R-E-A-N-N-A. Morillo.com. You can find her ex from there and her show. Make sure you check her out every night on Rumble, Brianna Morillo, the Brianna Morillo Show on Rumble. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
All right, Flavor family. My name is Avery Whited. I'm the daughter of David and Stacy. I'm just moving in, so I had to get an order from my pillow and get the things that I needed. So let's look inside. I got some MyPillow towels, kitchen towels. I got some of their Giza sheets. Now, I've never actually been able to use them, but I've heard amazing things from my parents about them. And last but not least, something for Charlie. Hey, dog bed. All right, Charlie, let's go put this in the dryer and fluff it up for you. Come on, buddy. Nice and warm and fluffy. Perfect for my little guy. Come here, Charlie. All right, if you want to get your own products, go to mypillow.com and use promo code FLYOVER to save up to 66% off.
Do your feet ache and throb in pain with every step you take every day of your life? Well, kiss those days goodbye with slippers from mypillow.com. How about that flimsy, flat little excuse for a pillow that's nothing but 8 hours of disappointment? Causing you pain in your neck every single night. You can wake up with nothing but butterflies and rainbows around your head with a MyPillow pillow. Those hardwood floors hurting your old bones? No more. With a MyPillow dog bed. Are your towels worn thin, flimsy, more patchy than Joe Biden's memory? There's nothing better than absorbent towels from MyPillow.com. For all of these products and more, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for up to 66% off.
I saw an interesting clip over the weekend, and it's very rare that two things happen. One, somebody can explain something as complex as the banking system in like under 2 minutes. And the second thing is you do not see people in power, politicians, speak clearly in public and actually state the truth. This will blow your mind. You might even want to back this up and play this clip a couple of times because it is just a tsunami of truth bombs. Let's check this out.
It is my opinion that you do not really understand the concept of banking. All the banks are broke. Bank Santander, Deutsche Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, they're all broke. And why are they broke? It isn't an act of God. It isn't some sort of tsunami. They're broke because we have a system called fractional reserve banking, which means that banks can lend money that they don't actually have. It's a criminal scandal, and it's been going on for too long. And most of the problem starts in politics and central banks, which are part of the same political system. We have counterfeiting, sometimes called quantitative easing, but counterfeiting by any other name. The artificial printing of money, which if any ordinary person did, they'd go to prison for a very long time. And yet governments and central banks do it all the time. Central banks repress the amount of interest that rates are, so we don't have the real cost of money. And yet we blame the real retail banks for manipulating LIBOR. The sheer effrontery of this is quite astonishing. It's central banks. It's central banks that manipulate interest rates, Commissioner. And plus, underneath all this, we talk loosely, in a rather cavalier fashion, do we not, about deposit guarantees. So when banks go broke through their own incompetence and chicanery, the taxpayer picks up the tab. It's theft from the taxpayer.
Wow.
Theft. And we're using the word tsunami quite a bit.
I used the same thing.
And he used it. And somebody understands central banks, how they manipulate currency, how they change even what you say inflation is by moving the metrics mm-hmm. that they use to measure it. Somebody has spent his life breaking that down. He's not one, but two PhDs, but actually wrote a book about tsunamis. It's called Thriving in the Economic Tsunami, not Surviving It, Thriving It. And we definitely need somebody to break down that auctioneer pace of truth bombs that just came out. The one, the only, Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Okay, I'm going to stereotype, but I can. So I might have two doctors after my last name, but British people always sound so smart.
They do.
The word chicanery.
Chicanery.
I mean, I don't know what that means, but I think it means like being a trickster, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
but
it's so. Not a tool,
right?
Yeah. They can even use words like proper and different words and that are a common word for us, but it's a totally different context. Yeah.
No
that's,
kidding.
That's super cool when they use it. But that was truly we got a definition on here. Colton, can you read that for me?
Deception by artful subterfuge or sophistry, trickery.
Not all in right, a dictionary, chicanery. Just
now,
for the other
now
words.
Now we're going to break those words down. So, yeah, but that guy laid out a lot quick. Very rarely do you hear that one specific truth of these major banks are broke. They're lending money that they don't even have.
Yeah.
They just don't usually say that part out loud.
They don't. So the whole banking system is based on a fraud, right? When you go back to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 and they tricked the U.S. government to actually, you know, basically sell their bonds to the Fed. The Fed prints money out of thin air, and then we have to pay interest on that. It's like, what? There's no meaning behind what they do other than they go to the print and press with the red button, print money to buy U.S. treasuries, and that's how the government makes money. But where did the source of the funds come from?
Mm.
The pressing of a button. Right. That's yeah. not federal. There's no reserve in it. It's not a government institution. People have to realize central banks, they're like the Fed is like seven cartel owning banking families. It's a private bank, right? That people think is part of the government, but it's really yeah. not. So the whole system that they developed, a fractional reserve banking, means David and Stacey, when you deposit $100 into your checking account, you know, the assumption is, oh, they've got wads of hundreds just, you know, flowing out of the bank vault when you open up the door. No, there's nothing there, right? Because they will lend out 90% of it and keep 10% back withhold, you know, for when people mm-hmm. take withdrawals and stuff. And then that 90%, they're going to lend out 90% of that and then 90% of that number. So they keep using the same $100 and they can create like $1,000 worth of lending. So this is where the system, there is no money behind it. They get loans and they print money. Like the other week when we watched the video of the chief of the Council of Economic Advisors for Biden,
yep.
and he doesn't even understand. He was
I was thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he does understand. He doesn't want America to believe that we're actually giving money to private banks and they're making money off the interest, because he said we print money and we borrow money. It's like, no, we don't print money. The government doesn't print money. The government sells bonds. The Fed prints money. This is the chicanery that mm-hmm. British politician was talking about. It's all based on a fraud. It's all based on debt. And then when you have the guarantee of FDIC, for example, mm-hmm. that, oh, your money is safe in the bank. Well, FDIC only has 0.74% of all deposits insured. Even that's a fraud. Right? Like, there's not much left. So I'm looking at that. It's like people who have too much money in the banks should not, because they're not safe like they used to be. They're running out of money. So there's this other video that by a supposedly smart scientist guy, you know, the evil Harari. Mm-hmm. We should watch that, because okay. Listen to what he says. I want to dissect a couple of things what he said, because it actually is a great follow-up to that video that we just watched.
Okay. At Bitcoin, as a historian, I don't like it, because this is a money built on distrust. The central idea of Bitcoin is basically electronic gold, that we don't trust the banks, the governments, so we don't want to give them the ability to create as much money as they like, so we create this Bitcoin. It's a currency of distrust. I do think that the future belongs to electronic money, but what we've seen over the last centuries is that it's actually a good idea to give banks and governments the ability to create more and more money in order to build more trust within society. So I'm not sure what money would look like in 20 years or 30 years, but I hope it will be a currency of greater trust and not a currency of distrust.
Well, I wonder why there's so much distrust.
So one thing that he said is true. Bitcoin is a currency of distrust. People like decentralized blockchain cryptocurrency because they think it's private and it's away from central bank money. But what a dumb thing he said after that, when he basically said, hey, if for the government to actually get more trust, they should just print more money. It's like, what? Inflation is going to create more trust? What a stupid thing to say, right? However, when you go to his rationale, I understand why he said that. Because what do they do with the money that they print? They're going to create entitlements. They're going to give handouts. They're going to have guaranteed basic income. So he's misinterpreting the word trust for, I'll buy your vote if we print money. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Yeah. Right? Yes. So just like what Biden's doing recently of home buyers giving them a $400 a month credit on their mortgage payment so they can afford houses. It's like, where does all this money come from? Mm-hmm. Do they think that that's actually instilling trust? No, not when the banks start to fail, it sure won't. But right now in an election year, they're buying votes and they are misusing the word trust for the feeling that people have when you give them money. It's like, all right, I'm going to keep voting for you because you're giving me money. Doesn't mean that I trust them.
Right.
I'm just going to keep abusing the system until it runs out, right? That's not trust. That's what he's saying. So we've got this whole system right now that's based on fraud, based on inflation. He just said, and he's part of the globalist cabal, right? He's part of the World Economic Forum. He just said, without saying it, we are going to print money like there's no tomorrow to try to generate trust. Inflationary pressures will not slow down. They will not cease. Interest rates have to continue going up. The system will break, and they're going to usher in central bank digital currency to fix it.
And didn't the FedNow go live? It just went live last week, right? FedNow?
Yeah, it went live last week. The World Economic Forum was bragging 2 weeks ago that 98% of the world now has adopted central bank digital currency. They're ready to deploy. I mean, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's only like some small South Pacific island probably that doesn't have it. I mean, 98% of the world is a lot of the world.
Yeah.
So it's coming, and it's coming really quick.
Man. Well, it went from being theoretical, like, oh, they're not going to do this. They're not going to get rid of actual physical money and go with, you know, a heavily centralized government controlled way of tying your money to your, you know, value in your, you know, decisions completely controlled by the government. They wouldn't do this. And it's like, oh, well, they're kind of doing it. Oh, well, they're kind of setting it up. Oh, well, now it's in place. Okay. Now it's active.
Because we've been talking about this a long time. I remember you telling us about FedNow a long time ago. For it now to be live and going, I mean, it's like, wow, all these things that you've been talking about are now coming to fruition.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, it's not rocket science. It just started connecting dots and knowing what the policymakers of the world are bringing to us. And they gave us the timeline. We're now in that timeline. Mm-hmm. So how do you protect silver? Get out of their system, get out of their paper, get out of all that mm-hmm. stuff. Because what we want is something that's tangible, something that's real. Because the end of the system, as we know it, is upon us. Central banking, I think, is going to go away in the form of paper money. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a digital version of it.
Which they can keep track of, just like they do in China. If they don't like something, they just shut you off. So you yep. can't do it. If you have done anything that they feel like, oh, that's inappropriate, that's, you know, I mean, even like in China, if somebody jaywalks, you know, it's like, oh, nope, we're going to take that. You can't have that. Yeah. I mean, it's, they control every aspect of your life. And that's what this CBDC would do as well.
Well, think about how dependent you are. If you're going to, you know, buy a car, you're going to buy a home, you know, your credit score is a big deal. You can't walk in there and it's just trash. You know, I mean, you're at the mercy of that mm-hmm. score. You're kind of vulnerable and naked in front of that lender. Like, okay, this is me. This mm-hmm. is my number. But imagine that being every time you buy groceries or an airline ticket, everything is going to more control. You go to buy an airline ticket. It has the carbon emission value on that flight right there on the numbers now, you know, so everything is going to be tied to mm-hmm. how good of a citizen are you? Well, your carbon footprint's already too big this year. You can't do this. Your spending won't go through if you exceed the thresholds that they say the peasants can have. Now, if you're John Kerry or, talk about, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger didn't even live in Sacramento when he was governor. He flew every day. You know, like the amount of carbon footprint they think mm-hmm. is okay for them is fine. But they're moving towards that idea of the farmers live in the house and all the cattle out in the pasture, and they have to control everything about the livestock. And that's everybody watching the show. That's what they think of you. That's the system.
And it's interesting because, you know, you read in the Bible about the mark of the beast. You're like, how could that ever happen? How could that actually happen? We could see today how that could actually happen. Yeah,
for sure. The technology is there. For the first time in the history of the world, Revelation 13 can now be here right now.
Yeah, it's just wild to see. But I love what you always say. You always say, but there's always options. When you're reading Revelations, it's not like you have to do it. You have choices. And that's what we're talking about right now. You can make a choice to get yourself in a great position financially where you're not dependent on the government. And that's getting out of the money and into something that's tangible like silver and gold.
Out of the fake Babylonian currency. Exactly. I mean, it really is. That's what the dollar is.
That's exactly right. And I think that's what's so important about you've been shouting this from the rooftops for a long time, letting us know, hey, there are other options and this is a great option.
Which is why we know, love, and trust you. Like, we've been friends for 25 years, but you have a plan through this. This isn't fear, you know, I don't know, artificial drama. It's like, hey, you know, it's like standing on a road and like, hey, the bridge is out right up here. Here's another way that you can get there that's safe. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're trying to sell me something. Okay, don't. I know, you know, I'm going on this other route. You can choose whatever you want to do. And you always have a plan. And that's what you're working people through. I love it because it's very clear, multi-stages, silver, gold, ratio close. If people have watched our episodes in the past, you have a very clear, methodical, Solomon-like book of Proverbs wisdom-based plan to get through this storm. But people have to participate.
Yep. It's good stuff.
It's so important. Not,
either way, go to flyovergold.com and you can set up a conversation with Kirk and his team. It's not a sales pitch. It is very educational based. Hey, here's your options. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What's best for you? Hang up the phone, walk away, pray about it. See what is mm-hmm. the wise choice for you and your family to make it through the times that we're in with the least number of regrets in the future. That's the move. Whether you're talking about buying some meat to be prepared if something happened, or you're talking about, you know,
having extra water.
Extra water. Anything that you're doing, like, what's the wise thing for me to do with the position God's put me in my family and my future mm-hmm. to operate with the least number of regrets with whatever outcomes mm-hmm. come? And that's what your team works with.
So Flyover family, go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information there for someone from their team will get a hold of you to set up that free consultation, or you can call 720-605-3900. Do it today. Dr. Kirk, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! @real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump. At least I will go down as a president.
I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Never got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally.
A new world order.
These allegations are false.
Weapons of mass destruction.
The USA Patriot Act.
The blueprint for large corporations.
We once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
Donald Trump confirmed that he is considering a run in 2016.
Do it.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
He will never be President of the United States.
Donald Trump will never be elected
President of the United States.
And people are watching these results come in.
You're going to make this decision now. Donald Trump will be the 45th President of the United States.
Does it ever seem to you that President Trump has done more than any president in modern history?
And in the 10 years I've been involved in politics, I've never seen an administration hit the ground running like this.
I could spend the rest of the hour laying out the accomplishments under the Trump presidency despite everything thrown at him. The
market just had its 12th straight record close.
Taking action to save as many kids as they can.
We were energy independent under the Trump administration.
More Americans reported being employed than ever.
Helping those who have served our country in the military to get access to mental health care.
The Great American Outdoors Act is the largest single piece of legislation to support our national parks and public lands.
Created more than 7 million good paying jobs.
Websites can be held liable in court for having sex trafficking content.
The Abraham Accords, which for any other president would have been multiple peace prizes.
America did not enter into a foreign war.
Employment rate in the U.S. fell to 3.5%.
The First Step Act eases federal sentencing for nonviolent offenders.
Increased funding for historically black colleges and universities.
Allows terminally ill patients easier access to experimental drugs.
Kept the inflation rate low.
Honored with the Bipartisan Justice Award.
Had a massive MS-13 gang problem.
3.9% is the unemployment rate.
Requiring airports to provide lactation rooms for breastfeeding mothers.
Middle class family income increased nearly $6,000.
A dramatic escalation in his crackdown on illegal immigration.
An advocate for educational choice.
Tariffs on Mexico and Canada.
An act preventing animal cruelty and torture.
Taking out Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, Soleimani, the Iranian general.
Save Our Seas Act, commitment to environmental issues.
We're saying Merry Christmas again.
Community development in low-income urban and rural communities.
Help us to remember the importance of fighting off tyranny.
Pulling out of UNESCO, the World Health Organization, the Paris Climate Accords, reassessing NATO and the United Nations.
Stood up for Christianity and the Constitution more than any president in American modern history.
We are stopping the attacks on Judeo-Christian values.
Do you miss me yet?
This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years, you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900.
For those of you that are my age or maybe even, you know, a little older in that range, you probably remember this commercial. Where's the beef?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I guarantee if there's a cut in the supply chain due to weather, any other kind of political attack, we're in election year, your kids are going to be looking at you saying that exact same thing if all you've stored is rice, beans, and maybe some pudding. They're like, where's the beef? They want to substitute real beef for stuff made in a lab.
It's alive.
Even if you're, you know, kind of a prepared person, you've got a few things stored, it's hard to take care of the protein source in a way that's still enjoyable. These prices are so good and the beef isn't in such good quality, you could be storing this beef and use it on a regular basis. This could be part of your Taco Tuesday experience because you don't have to worry about storing it in a freeze location.
The girl has tacos.
So go to flyovermeat.com, use promo code FLYOVER for a huge discount. Again, flyovermeat.com, promo code FLYOVER. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacey Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day.